Exit number 11213, rail 6.
Mr. Lam, rail 6.
Will you describe your journey to China, Mr. Lam?
Well, we were got settled down on the troop ship and we're off once more, sailing the high seas, bound for China. The Delwara, we found, was a pretty rough ship because it was its first ship, a new, brand new troop ship. And I think we were the first ones on it, because this troop ship proved to be top heavy. And it was an interesting trip, passing the various places, Ceylon and all this near there. The Ceylon light lit up and Algiers on the left and all this, and then we hit the China seas. And that's when we found what it was. And it is one of the roughest seas there is, the China Sea. Can be rough. And that's we found out what the Delwara was. My gosh. There was a few lads seasick then, I can tell you.
Where was, what was your accommodation like on the ship? Were you down below decks?
Yes, we yeah, the usual hammocks again. And of course you hung them up and they were replaced by mess tables where you'd have your meals on, etc. Put in the place. And same as, more or less same as other troop ships.
How long did the journey take?
Well, I have no idea. Probably roughly 3 or 4 weeks, I should think. But we pulled into Singapore for fresh water and provisions, etc. And while we were in Singapore, we paraded on the dockside, went out parading on the dockside, for a march round Singapore. We had a march round Singapore, more or less for exercise. And as a matter of fact, I'm not sure, but I think I have a photo of this as well. I'm not sure, which I've showed to Mr. Wood. I'm not sure what I have of that.
And where did you dock in China?
Well, in China, we docked in Shanghai on the Bund. And we docked in Shanghai. And at this time, as you were, Japan were already at war with China, and the war was in the area on the outskirts of Shanghai as well. A place called, which I have photos, which I've shown Mr. Moses, of the bombing, where the flames are blazing up and all that. You can see that where the bombs are there. Just forget the names of the places now. But anyway, we disembarked and we marched. We went to do some schools called UUN Road Schools, A Company. And I'm not sure whether there's any other company there. It's big, big schools on UUN Road. And other companies went to various other places. Because, as far as we understood, the barracks that was accommodation there for the battalion hadn't been evacuated yet, and we waited to get the passage. Anyway, we ended up in the schools, in the company. Of course, as a matter of fact, I was back in the A Company then. As far as the signals was concerned, I passed out and everything in the signals. But I think this had been for a more or less for future reference, in case we need it.
What was the job of the battalion in Shanghai? What was your job? What was the battalion there for?
Well, for the purpose of looking after British interests. You had your Jardine Matheson, various, you had the only majority of the boats there, and the shipping area and all this and the other. You had your concession to look after. There was various concessions there. You had your British concession. You had your French concession. You had your Italian concession. And the Americans were there as well. I couldn't verify so much about it. Of course, the Americans there and all the cruisers and what, the Navy was there. The American Navy was definitely there. But as far as troops are concerned, I can't say anything about that. But that's what you had. The English concession, French concession, Italian concession. And we were there to look after the interests of the English people, and firms, etc., who worked that day. That's what we're there for.
So you would do quite a number of duties. What kind of duties were those?
Oh, duties. Well, the duties were, as a matter of fact, as far as battalion was concerned, while I was at the schools, I did one patrol. Used to walk around and go out on patrol, say, a section. And used to walk through the paddy fields and all this near there. Quite new experience to us. And I don't know the reason for this, actually, but we had to go patrol around the areas. And there was one place where, when I was first there, but the first 3 or 4 weeks, I was on guard duty on a bridge which separated Shanghai from the Japanese section. This bridge, Japanese sentries at one end, and we were at the other end. And somebody used to come home and chat with each other and all this and that. But you happen to be too, sociable with them. But we just put up with them and that's all that.
So you had no problems with the Japanese?
You had to be very careful what you... As a matter of fact, it was a funny experience for me and the lads in particular. Now this bridge, the Japanese lorries and all that, with the soldiers on, were allowed over this bridge. But they must have bypassed the town to go to where they were going. Because they used to come back. And they were loaded with dead bodies. Chinese soldiers were killed and all this thing. And we used to make a bonfire of them when they got them over. Probably put them in. Next thing you see, bonfire. Now there's one experience I had there, which quite a few of the lads talk about, which I meet at the present day. One lad in particular, he's in the Salvation Army presently, he's not too well at present. And it's well known this. Major Heslop, who was my second in command, he happened to visit us one day while I was there. And there was a Japanese officer came across the bridge. And they started talking. It ended up as though they were arguing. And this Japanese officer pulled his revolver out and he pointed at Major Heslop and he said, Major Heslop just more or less ignored him, still, you because we had a bread gun there. And he just, Major Hanlon just pointed the bread gun, he said, and we couldn't believe it. I looked at it, my gosh. We'll blow the bits at once. He doesn't believe what he's doing, this fellow.
You never found out what the reason was for that?
The incident was more or less the Japanese just crawled away, just off he went. Now the lads still talk about the first day when we go to our reunion. That was at my second club. We used to call him Daddy Heslop. We had quite a few daddies in the battalions. Daddy Colonel Lowe, Daddy Heslop. We used to call him Daddy. We had a few daddies in the battalion. Daddy Heslop was one. Daddy Lowe was another.
What was his duties?
Who?
Lowe.
He was the,
quartermaster.
An officer. He was in charge of the stores.
Who was the battalion commander?
Well, like I said, Griffin, when he first landed in Shanghai. I'm sure he was our commanding officer. Like I said, Griffin. And Colonel Danny Heslop was second in command.
And who was your company commander?
Now, my company commander was Johnson, Captain Johnson. That was my company commander.
Were they good officers?
Captain Johnson was well liked. And they were all fairly well liked. We took to them straight away. Of course, we had our own officers with us who went to India with us. Atkinson, Lieutenant. They were second lieutenants when they went in there. They'll be lieutenants then. Lieutenant Atkinson, Norman. Keith, who was my platoon commander then. He used to be platoon commander. He was second lieutenants and lieutenants. Which these were in later years done away with.
What other duties did you have to do other than patrolling?
Well, that was about my last one. Because shortly after that, we moved into the barracks. A company moved up to Chesterfield Park. That was the barracks. There were huts, wooden huts. More or less the same as Bramford's cattle. Huts, not buildings. And other companies moved in various other places. Now there was another battalion there when we went there, the Seaforth Islanders. Two battalions in Chennai, Seaforth Islanders and us when we got there. I couldn't say who that was we relieved. I couldn't say the battalion we relieved in Chennai. But the Seaforth Islanders were already stationed at the race course. They were billeted at the race course.
Did you do much training and exercising?
As far as I was concerned, when we moved up to Chesterfield Park, I happened to be made Lance Corporal then. I was sent for by Major Hasmer, second command. You have to attend only room tomorrow, lad. Major Heslop. CEO, command officer, wants to see you. He's second. I went up, just then. And he said, well, lad, he says, how would you like to be attached to the Royal Military Police? I said, thought to myself, you know, saying these things to myself. Good gracious. I said, it means leaving the battalion, leaving my pals, all this to myself, like. Not in front, not spoke, outspoken. I was thinking this all the time. So he says, now you know, it's a pretty serious job, because you'll have to do some, even your old pal, you'll have to push him in someday, bring him in. And he said also, when you do go to join the Royal Military Police, you know what they are? Oh, that's after them, I said, they were the beggars, all right. Well, he says that we've decided that there's half a dozen of you go from the county. You see, we've decided. Well, one of you was one of them. See, we think you couldn't. We think you're capable of doing the job. And he says, mine, don't forget. You go down there, you forget the dead of light infantry. You're still the dead of light infantry. You're still a dead of light infantry man, and don't forget it. But when you go down there, you do Royal Military Police duties.
Why was this? Was this because the numbers of the RMP were small?
Was that there was only a half a dozen Royal Military Police there and a sergeant. There was a sergeant of the military police, the corporal, military police, the last corporal of the military police. That's all there was, seven of them. Now, Shanghai had a big area to cover, as far as the army's concerned. It was a big place. You had, cavalry is. You were all over the place.
So how long were you attached to the military police?
So I said, right, I'll have a go, sir. I said, I promise I won't let you down. He said, you better not. So I said, no, don't forget. You do your job. You won't let the battalion down. You've got some responsibility on your hands, right? And you leave it. He said, I think you'll do it all right. That's why I picked you. That's why you've been picked. So, I said, that's it. So I went down, reported. The six of us went down together. And there was also six men there from the Seaforth Islanders. And when we first arrived, and I said, no, the sergeant got us all together with the red caps that was there. And I said, right, you introduce us all. I'm Sergeant such and such. I'm Corporal such and such. I just forget his name. Forget the name. Lance Corporal. Now, your duties. You have a job to do here, and it's a tough job. It can be tough. And you can make it easier for yourself if you handle it right. You've got to know how to handle things. How to deal with people. You'll have various people to deal with. You'll have awkward people to deal with. All the spirit, you've got to deal with. Now, the first thing we do is two of you will go out with one of the red caps selected, and he'll take you on your rounds. As a matter of fact, there's more or less half a dozen policemen, more than six on duty every night. Then you had your standby. say, 4 or 5 left in the billets with the corporal or sergeant on standby with what they call, we used to call the Black Mariah wagon, because in case we picked anyone else, we used to write, 4 in, bring down with the wagon, we've got a one here for you. Right, they used to come down and pick him up and take him back up to his regimental, and they used to put the guard up. And we referred to charge and all that, and we had to go up next morning. And in front of the chap that was on the charge, and stayed in front of the company commander, what he was charged with, and all this together, and he was dealt with. Now,
how long were you with the military police?
I was there all the time we were at Shanghai, right from that date. We left for Tintin. I was there right all the time.
What date would that be when you left Shanghai for Tianjin?
No, we did have it would be the beginning of 1938. I think we did about a year and a half in Shanghai. We moved up to Tintin Peking. But anyway, while I was there, experiences I did, as a matter of fact, with one of our two of our lads in that I know, and it was an experience I had while I was out on duty. We used to go out with us. What we used to do was pair up with a Scotchman and an Englishman. Used to go out together. And the Sea Force used to wear the kilts. By gosh. They did now for some Chinese and all that. Just look at the man in the skirt and all this and that. And they were very smart. And so I happened to walk in the mum's cabinet one night. And there was one of the Sea Force Islanders sitting together, I'd had a bit of a tip like that there was going to be a do up on the night, that they were going to sort somebody Italians out and whatnot, and so on. Right? Used to get the hit, like. So I just walked in, and all under white belts on. Used to wear white belts there with the C4 helmets, you know, with the. So I just walked in and I said, here, get that belt up, get him properly dressed. I know what you're up tonight. You're going to use that belt, aren't you? That's what I told him. Not while I'm here, you're not. Now I said, get them on. Now I said, if I happen to come back in here any time, even though a sergeant might walk in. You don't know who's going to walk in here, mind. There's not only me around here, and my nephew. The sergeant might walk in. Corporal might walk in. The Red Cap sergeant might walk in. The Red Cap corporal might walk in. Anybody might walk in. Because I'm the man in charge of this cabaret. Who owns this cabaret? Will be warned that he has a phone there to get in contact straight away. So I said, you know what to expect. Anyone comes in here, me, anyone else, catches them white belts off. You stay back to back. So that's it. Now, while this was happening, there was a Japanese general walked in. I don't know whether it's general or what, but by gosh, he's an officer. Sword and everything. And I was just standing like, and he walked with me, started bowing to me like. And I just waved my hands like a. And I made some, I didn't know whether he understood English or not. Well, I just went boom, 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 my fist like that. Boom, 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 boom. And I, like, gave indicator to him to depart. And he bowed again. All right. And he went down. That was a funny experience I had.
Did you have a lot of problems? Was there a lot of fighting between the various nationals
among
the troops?
Regular.
So there was a lot of that.
There's also a navy there as well. Just that. Yes, that's why it was called Brunei. There was always dust-ups. You couldn't expect anything else.
Did you have any relationships with the Chinese?
Well, yes, they were pretty friendly with us. As a matter of fact, when we were off duty, these cabarets, we used to go to these cabarets also. And they had what they call hostesses there, like the same type of thing what the Americans have, even up at the present day. The girls, there was, as a matter of fact, there was white Russians there who had escaped from Russia. There was even Russian princesses there. I myself, one of my mates, who knew, happened to tell my wife at the present day. She said, you know, they used to knock a Russian princess off him when he was in China. Yes,
was there what about VD? Was there problems with that?
Pardon?
Was there a lot of VD amongst the troops?
Well, they were all, you had out there things which you had not in India and Khartoum. You had what you call regimental bottles. Now, one of our lads, one of the battalion lads, stationed at the battalion, with the battalion, was stationed there as an orderly to see that everyone carried out, after he'd had intercourse with any of the girls there, carried out a certain procedure, which was the Cornish fluid was used, etc., something like that, and all this together. Made sure he kind of signed a book. That the report, sign a book, that he'd taken his precautions. And if anyone happened to catch any VD, like that, well, we'll find out him. Because otherwise, if they had it done, this did not occur in the need in the regiment bottle. You went outside somewhere.
So this was an offence?
It was a serious offence. One of the most serious offences in the army.
And was there a lot? Was there a lot of it?
I don't think there was much of it. It was a very strict thing. It was always a strict thing in the army, right throughout India, Khartoum, and China. It was a very serious offence. Was this feeding? Very serious.